My name is Ondřej Klejch and I'm going to talk about my master thesis project, CloudASR. CloudASR is a web platform for automatic speech recognition. The project is supervised by Dr. Jurčíček, and initially I wanted to work on dialogue system, and my first task was to install Alex on my machine and run it. But it was quite difficult. It took me 2 days to install Alex, and after that Alex wasn't working because Google speech recognition API wasn't working because they changed the API, so Alex was Alex broke, and Dr. Jurčíček said and suggested that I can create our own API for Google automatic speech recognition, and I like the idea that we can share our knowledge with the public. So the first reason why we are working on CloudASR is to make onboarding of new students to our group easier, so that they can use CloudASR in Alex. They don't have to install Picaldi or use Google ASR. The second reason is that we want to share our knowledge with developers, because there are many developers who want to use voice control in their applications, but they don't know how to use it, because automatic speech recognition is quite a difficult task. So we thought that we know how to do automatic speech recognition and we can share this knowledge with them. Also, we can benefit from it too, because we can get some real data from them, from their usage, and we can use this data for further research or for improvement of our models. So that's the motivation. Well, you may admit that there are other options for automatic speech recognition APIs, like Google, Nuance or IBM, but these APIs focus on general language model, and we know that we can't compare with them on general language model because we don't have enough data. But we know that we can beat them on specific tasks like public transformation information, where Google ASR has 45% word error rate and our system has 18% word error rate, so it's much better. So the idea is that we can provide this API for developers who want to use some specific tasks, and we think that on these tasks our API can perform better. So, what are the features of our system? Our system provides both online and batch automatic speech recognition mode. It supports multiple languages. You can run as many languages as you want on our platform. Our platform has an annotation interface for adding transcriptions to the recordings that users send to our API. With these transcriptions, we can improve our models, and also we want to share these transcriptions with the public so that other researchers can benefit from it too. Also, when the users don't want to add transcriptions to the recordings, they may use crowdsourcing. We have support for Cloudflower, so that users can download list of recordings which we need to transcribe and upload it to the Cloudflower, and then they send us the resulting transcriptions which we will use for our improvement. For me, the most interesting feature is easy deployment and easy scalability of the system, because as I said, installation of Alex is difficult, and installation of Picaldi is difficult too. So I wanted to make this process easier, so that users of our system who wants to run the system on their own machines don't have to install it for 2 days. They can just download some package and run it straight. So it's deployment and scalability, because we want to handle many requests in parallel, and speech recognition is difficult task, so you can handle many requests on one machine. So you have to think about how to distribute the work across several machines. So now I would like to describe difference between batch and online mode. So batch mode is when user records his speech to the file, then he sends the file to the API, and then he receives and best list hypothesis. The task consumes, it takes long, because you have to think, take the length of the recording, speed, upload speed, and the length of the processing of the recording. So it's quite slow, and because of that it's not possible to use it in dialogue system, because in dialogue systems you have to react quickly. There is another option, it's online mode, where you send chunks as soon as you start recording, and you as you are recording you receive best path hypothesis, which you can use for quick decisions. This difference in speeds is shown in this chart from Ondřej Palatek and Filip Jurčíček's paper, which was published last year, where red dots are Google batch speech recognition latencies, and blue dots are Caldi online speech recognition latencies. The x-axis is length of the recording, and the y-axis is the latency, how long did it took to get hypothesis for the recording. So you can see that Google batch mode is much slower. The latency grows linearly with the length of the recording, and online mode remains fast. It doesn't matter how long the wave is, the wave file is long that much. Okay. Now I would like to talk about the architecture of the system. The system is built from smaller blocks, which can run on different machines, and the main three blocks of the systems are master, worker, and API frontend. These blocks communicate between each other using ZeroMQ library, and they send messages to each other. And this has some benefits, like that we can run the blocks on different machines. We can add new blocks on the fly, and we can test the blocks separately, so we get a fast feedback when developing the system. Now, I would like to describe rows of the blocks. So, API frontend. API frontend acts as a proxy between client and workers. It receives requests from the clients. When users use batch mode, the API receives HTTP POST method, file sent by HTTP POST method, And when users use online mode, they send chunks using WebSockets. And master receives heartbeats from workers. And what is a heartbeat? Heartbeat is a message from worker which contains state of the worker, like I am working, I am waiting for a new task, or I finished this task. And it also contains information about language which the worker process, because when you want to provide a service for multiple languages, you have to start the workers before the request comes, because it takes some time to load modules into the memory, so the workers has to run already. And the master keeps track about running workers, so that when the API receives request, it can point the API to the available worker, which can process the recording. And finally, worker. Worker is built on top of Picaldi. It's a Python wrapper for Caldi created by Ondřej Plátek. It supports both online and batch recognition mode. And also worker uses Theano neural network for voice activity detection. We use voice activity detection when we are processing very long recordings, because when you are processing very long recording, the size of the response becomes very large over the time, and the network will become slow. So we wanted to split the response into smaller parts, and we use pauses in speech for that, because we think that speech before pause doesn't affect the speech after the pause that much. And also Google uses this too, so it works. So how does the batch mode workflow look like in our platform? So client starts by recording his speech, then he sends WAV file to the API. API asks master whether there is any available worker. If there is any worker, master sends address of the worker to the API, and API forwards the recording to the worker, which process the file and returns NBEST list hypothesis. And then API wraps the response in JSON and send it to the client. I would like to show you how it works. So I prepared. Short. Short recording. It's actually Filip Jurčiček.
I'm looking for a bar.
Okay. And now I want to send it to the API, which is running locally on my machine, and I'm going to use curl. And you can see that it's just plain curl request with file specified which I want to send, and I also specify header. The most important part is frame rate of the recording. Without it won't work. So I send it to the server, and I get back this response so it's not working. Well, there are some mistakes, but you can see the format of the response. Okay. So that's the batch mode. And online mode is quite similar to the batch mode. It's the beginning of the process is the same. Client sends first chunk of the recording to the front end. Front end asks for worker address, and then it forwards every chunk to the worker who processes the chunk. When there is a pause, it splits the recording, sends back the final hypothesis for the chunk, and then it starts new recognition for new recording. And I can show you a demo for this too, which will be live. So I have the same model for this task, and I'm going to speak to the microphone. So I'm looking for a cheap Chinese restaurant. I'm looking for a fast food. I'm looking for a cheap Chinese restaurant in the city center. You could see that the gray text is an interim result, and when the text become black, it's final and it won't change anymore. Also, in this demo, I can switch to the evaluation mode where I can confirm hypothesis, and this quick answers get stored in our database, and we can use it for another tasks. Now, the most interesting part for me, deployment. I would like to compare traditional approach and our approach, which I call Docker approach. So how does the traditional approach look like? You start with a new machine where is only operating system installed, and you have to install every dependency for your project. So for Alex, it's 2 days of work. And then you have to make sure that the libraries has the same version in development and in production, because it happened many times to me that this mismatch in versions caused some serial bugs. And then when everything is installed, you can start and stop applications in shell, and that's it. But in Docker, in our approach, Docker is a portable, lightweight application runtime and packaging tool, which it's a definition by Docker. My definition is that it is a sandbox for processes. And does anybody know Docker here? Okay. So it might be interesting for you. So Docker makes sandbox for your process where you can install all dependencies. You can set up network and environmental variables. And then when you run the process in the Docker container, it doesn't affect your environment, and your environment doesn't affect the Docker environment. So it's good way how to separate running applications on one machine. And to start with the Docker, you create an image, Docker image, where you install all dependencies. Then you can use this image on every machine, and you are guaranteed that the environment in development and in production will be the same, because you will use the same image. And you have to build it once, and you can use it as many times as you want. So just a quick example. This is traditional example, traditional approach how to install our API on a new server. So you install Python and Python pip. With pip you install Flask and Flask-socket.io. Then you copy a source code of the application to some directory, and then you can run the application. It's quite straightforward, but it can get much complicated, for example with Picaldi, but it's too long for slide. So how does the Docker file look like? It's the same. You just start with the header where you specify from which image you want to create your image. So in this case it's Ubuntu. Then you just add some Docker commands, but the shell commands are still the same. So you install Python and Python pip. You install Flask in Flask-socket.io. Then this command is interesting because it copies source code on your machine into the image. So that's the way how you share your application with the container. Then in the container you switch to the application directory with application, and you run and you specify that the application should be run when you start the container. Now how do you start container and how do you build image? So when you want to build image, you use docker build command with two parameters. First parameter specifies the name of the image, and the second parameter specifies path to the directory with the Docker file. So in this case I built an image with name ufaldsg cloud asr api from Docker file, which is stored in cloud asr api directory. When the image is built, I can use it and I can run the container with docker run command, where I specify some options for the container. It's a name. It's the name which will refer to the process where I can kill this process by name. So the name is API. Then I forward port 8080 on my machine to port 80 in the container. That's how I can access application inside the container. And then I specify some environmental variable. And then I share source codes on my machine with the container. So this is the way how you can update your application without rebuilding whole image. It's a way how you can do it in development phase. Okay. And then you can also stop the image when everything is done. Now, cluster deployment. As I said, you have to run the application on multiple machines because you can handle all requests on one machine. So how would you do it traditionally? You would SSH into every machine, install all dependencies, and then run processes manually. But what happens when something fails? For example, process may fail or server may fail, but you would have to monitor the application and to get the information that something failed. But it's complicated to do it correctly because there are so many options that may go wrong. So instead of this, we used Mesos. So Mesos definition. Mesos lets you program against your data center like it's a single pool of resources. It's an official definition, and my definition is that imagine that you have a set of machines, server 1, server 2, server 3, server 4. And Mesos adds a layer over these machines. And then you just communicate with this layer. And this layer takes care about scheduling of the tasks or about handling failures of the system. When some server crash, for example, server 4, the tasks that were running on the server will be rescheduled to the remaining servers, and it's for free. Also, this platform scales up to 10,000 of nodes. I think it's enough for our task. And it uses Docker. So when we build an image with Docker, we can use it on our platform, and we are guaranteed to have correct environment in production. Okay. So there is an example how you can run API image on Mesos. You start by creating an API JSON file where you specify the name of the process. In this case, it's ID API. Then you specify type of the container. It's Docker with image UFAL DSG Cloud SR API. Then I specify how many instances I want to run. I specify some constraints about CPUs and memory. I can add some other constraints, for example, that I want to run this application on server number 1 or in some cluster named cluster. And then I add some environment variable. And when this file is finished, I can send it to Mesos API with curl, and the platform will start after a few seconds. Now when the load increase, I want to start new instances of the API, and I can do it just by updating the file where I specify that I want to run run 5 instances, and I just send it to the Marathon API and it will add new instances. So demo time. I will show you how I can do it with the GUI. So I have API container running here, and I can just click scale, set 5 instances, and it will add new instances after a while. So it's really quick. The thing why it is quick is that the image is already downloaded on the machine. If we have to download the image for the first time, it will be a little bit slower, but it will be fast enough.
So all of the instances from this machine, right?
No, this is a production Mesos cluster. I can't run so many machines on my laptop. Okay. So you can see that adding new instances is really fast, and we can react quickly to the user needs. Okay, and final slide. What I would like to do next? I would like to add option for users to upload their own language model for their tasks, so that we can run workers for them, which will be useful for them. And over the time, as we collect their recordings, we can also adapt language model and acoustic model. And we think that the performance of the system will become better and better with these online adaptations. So that's it. Thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to answer your questions. Which demo?
This.
Oh, sorry. Just 1 second. Sorry. It's something went wrong, but. But the GitHub is working.
So, yeah, one thing you said that you will, YouTube plan to collect the recordings that you get, so there is some kind of unsupervised way to improve your results from the
well, it will be.
Transcriptions.
Well, we want to collect transcriptions too.
Yeah, but if somebody uses the API in the basic way, so he sends you the recording, he gets a transcription, and he will tell you whether it was correct or not, then.
Well, we have an interface for adding transcriptions afterwards, so we want to get some users to transcribe our recordings or use CrowdFlower for that.
And this infrastructure is falling behind Alex right now? Or?
No, we just use the technology that Alex use, and well, maybe that we will use it for new students who don't know how to install Picaldi, so they can use it instead of Google ISR.
And we also want to use it for other instead of we will write instances of Alex there, and when we use more users, we just click the button that on graph showed and say 10, and we will be able to
okay, then thank you. Have a good day.